Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to get all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the Anchor Down Podcast with Vanderbilt reporter Max Hurd.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Max.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
It's time to anchor down and listen up to the Anchor Down Podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name's Max Hurd. I'm your host. It's Thursday, November the 19th, and time for our weekly Vanderbilt football player interview here on the podcast. And I am proud to say this is the first time that we have had a player interview this year who is a returning guest of the show. Redshirt sophomore safety Deshaun Jerkins is from Woodbridge, Virginia in Northern Virginia. He was on the podcast after the first game of his redshirt freshman season. That was a year and 2 months ago, the first week of September 2019, after he had double-digit tackles in the game against Georgia, which was his first collegiate start. Since then, he has solidified himself as one of Vanderbilt's starting safeties. I believe he is the most valuable player on the 2020 Vanderbilt defense, and we're going to talk to him about that defense, and we'll get pretty specific with a lot of the scheming they've done, man versus zone, stopping the run, third-level defensive players, meaning defensive backs like him and their role in stopping the run, which didn't really happen against Kentucky. So we'll talk about that game. We'll talk about his time sitting out because of contact tracing and COVID-19, what that was like for him, and why he is sad that Florida All-American tight end Kyle Pitts is not playing for the Gators this week. You can subscribe to the Anchor Down Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Deshaun Jerkins is here, Vanderbilt redshirt sophomore safety. Deshaun, great to have you on the podcast for a second time.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
What's it been like this year feeling the team improve as the season's gone on?
It gives a lot of confidence. You know, it makes it known to players and people around that even though we haven't got the results we wanted, we are improving week by week, and we're still continue to try to win. Like, that's the goal at the end of the day. We want to win in the SEC, and every week we keep improving to do that. We just got to lock down and actually get through it and win, get the dub.
Where and how do you feel like the team has improved the most?
I feel like we improved the most from, like, a competitive point, because I feel like now we go out there and we know we can compete with these guys. Sometimes it takes a while, the second half, for us to pick up and things like that. But at the end of the day, I feel like from a practice standpoint, we're out here and we know we have to compete today. We gotta go hard, because at the end of the day, it's going to pay off when we get to the game day. And I just feel like the main reason why is because at the end of the day, no one wants to keep losing. And we know we're in the SEC with a tough schedule this year, especially with COVID and everything. And we have a lot of players out. So we know we just have to go hard every day. And if we want the results that we want, that's the only way we're going to get it.
Is what you said about the second half, meaning teams are coming out of halftime and wanting it more than you?
No, I mean, sometimes we come out second half and we want it more than them.
Okay.
We want it more than them, yeah.
I think you guys definitely felt that in the Kentucky game. What did you think about the way that game finished as you also returned from a first half targeting suspension?
Yeah, I feel like we came out strong. We could have put a couple stops. We got killed on that 70-yard one. That really put us in a bind. But I mean, I feel like we came out and we knew that we were still in this game, regardless of what the scoreboard said, even if we're down or not. We knew we were in the game, and we're trusting our offense to get in and score the ball, because we're out here with these boys every day and we see how they improve. So defense, we really just locked on trying to get stops. And as a team, we know our offense is going to get in the end zone. We just got to get the stops for them.
Vandy safety Deshaun Jerkins is our guest here on the Anchor Down Podcast, and you talked about that big run in the Kentucky game. Derek Mason said after the game that the team got pushed around up front, and when you've got an 8 or 9 man front, the football isn't really too complicated. Either they're beating you at that first level or you're getting them. What did you think about the run defense in that game?
I feel like we could have clamped down a little bit. Kentucky's old line was pretty good up front. I just feel like we could have just clamped down up front, and the back end, we just got to correct the mistakes. That's it. When we are second-level players, second and third-level players have to be able to correct the mistakes that the D linemen make and replace them with their fits and things like that. So I just feel like when it came to that point, that's what we had to get better at.
Is that a reasonable thing to expect from you on a run play as one of those third-level defenders?
Yes, of course. I'm always looking to find the open gaps where I think the running back's going to go. Even though I have my main target that I have, like I have my main gap where I'm supposed to fit and things like that, but sometimes plays don't work out how they're written up on the card. So at the end of the day, you just have to be an athlete, and I feel like I'm very good at that. That's a strong part of my game.
So on that big run, you're not really anywhere near the ball. You're playing your assignment. But after that play, are you thinking, man, I should have filled that gap?
I wasn't in on that play.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't in because we went a different formation, so I wasn't in. I got subbed in after that play happened.
Okay, I knew Chase was in on that play, so I figured you may have been on the other side, but that makes sense then.
Yeah,
so,
that was it was Brendan and Dimitri that were in on that one.
Okay.
It wasn't me.
So let's talk about the pass defense, too, because there was a lot more man defense in the second half of that game, and Derek Mason said after that does have some consequences in the run game. But as you think about that as a leader on the back end of the defense, did that trade-off work the way you guys hoped it would? You go more man and maybe you give up a little more in the run?
Yeah, I think it paid off because we're stopping those big explosive plays, and we just have to trust that our backers and our D-line fit the run correctly. It is risky at some points, but I feel like it's good because it really takes away when they come out in those crazy formations and things like that, balanced formations, and we man up and we just have 8 in the box or 7 in the box and we man up on the outsides and things like that. It kind of makes it easier because we each have our man and we're taking those out the equation. One of them are not going to be eligible, so it allows us to play like hold rules on them so we can pass things off as well. So it's man, but it's kind of not, if you get what I'm saying. But yeah, I feel like that we did man a lot, but main reason why is because when it's man, it makes things simpler. So everyone understands what they have and where they're going to go and where they're going to fit and who they're playing off of. So I feel like man is a good thing that we had against the Kentucky game. Even though it gave up a little bit of the run because it brought some people out the box, I still think it did what it was supposed to.
If you guys will be using that again this week, why do you think it could work well against Florida?
I think it could work well because mainly Florida, they like to pass the ball a lot, which is why I don't think it would be the biggest thing we would do against them, being that they're more of a pass team rather than a run team like Kentucky was. So I feel like it would be okay for us to do that, but that wouldn't be too much in our game plan because of running a lot of man against these guys. They have a lot of speedsters. They have a lot of people that can make big explosive plays, and at the end of the day, we want to put stops to those and make him check it down. And they're not really a big run team. They will run the ball, don't get me wrong, but they're not a big run team. I feel like they're going to come in and try to get Kyle, I forgot his name, they're going to try to win him the Heisman. Honestly, that's what I feel like. It's like manning up that makes us susceptible to big explosive plays, especially versus an explosive team like them.
So what should we look for early in the game to know whether or not the defense is slowing him down?
You should look for a lot of pass-off coverage and things like that. Like a lot of zone coverage where we're passing things off and we're letting things clear through and making him check down and then going and rallying and making the tackles.
Deshaun,
similar to like Mississippi State.
Deshaun Jerkins is our guest, Vanderbilt football safety. You've got a first-year D coordinator in Ted Roof. What's the biggest difference in the defense that he's brought in this year?
The biggest difference in defense, I would say, is it's really simple. You feel me? Like we don't go in with 20 calls we have to remember plus a couple checks that we have to remember for each call. We go in with enough calls for us to go in there and execute that call to the fullest. Coach Roof, he's really on. He's real honest with us, so he's really on by us being great. He'll rather us be great at one call than give us a whole bunch of calls. So at the end of the day, the calls aren't going to make the play. The players are. So I feel like he just allows us. So he puts it in the players' perspective, and it really allows us to be like, okay, regardless of what he calls, we have to go out here and execute this play to our fullest. I just feel like he's real heavy on that, and that's what the big difference is.
You played alongside Donovan Kaufman for the first couple of games before he was ruled out for the year. One game he played mostly nickel corner. The second game he played safety alongside you. How fun was that, and what excites you about his future?
Man, DK, that's my dog. I love playing next to DK. He gives a whole bunch of energy. He's going to match my energy every time. And you feel me? He's just a ball player. He loves the game. So him being out, I mean, it sucks what he has to go through and things like that. But I was just excited just to see somebody so young come up, like, ready to play. You feel me? That's how I felt last year when I was a freshman coming in. Well, I wasn't a redshirt freshman, but I just, like, it was my first time playing, too. So you got to come out, and it's just like, you got to give everything you got. And I feel like he do that every time. He's doing it in the practice, what he was doing in the practice. And I love playing next to him.
So some guys have gotten hurt. A few guys have just left the team. How do you think your position group has handled all of the departures in the DB room this season?
I feel like we handled it well. A lot of guys know that they have to step up when people go down and things like that. But that's what we expected. I'm not saying we expect that, but with COVID and everything going on, we didn't know what was going to happen this year. So a lot of guys, we didn't take it that bad, honestly. Like, a lot of guys just really had to clamp down. Like, I got to know everything at this point. Like, you just got to be ready when your time comes.
Deshaun Jerkins is our guest, Vanderbilt football redshirt sophomore starting safety. And Deshaun, you sat out a game when you were contact trace because of COVID-19, and you sat out a half because of targeting suspension. Which of those was worse to endure, to be away from your team?
I might have to say Kentucky when I sat out that first half. Main reason why is because this year I've had a goal in mind to lock down every tight end I've won against. And every tight end I've won against hasn't did anything. Besides Ole Miss, he caught me on one pop pass, but it wasn't my man. I just had to help on it. But besides that, like, my goal is to shut down tight ends this year and not really let them do anything. In the first half, the tight ends kind of killed us. They had two receiving touchdowns. So Kentucky would probably be the most hurt I was. So I was like, damn, like, we take away those two touchdowns, we easily won the game. So that's probably the most I feel like, Kentucky.
Are you a little disappointed that Florida tight end Kyle Pitts isn't playing this weekend then?
Yep, I actually am. My coach told me he wasn't playing. I was like, damn, this is the game that's supposed to – he's the best tight end I was going to verse all year, so – this is really the one that I was going to show and prove myself so the world could see it. Because, you know, a lot of people don't see the stats behind. They just see when the big players come up and play. So I want to step up and play against him this week, but I'm not going to have that opportunity. But it's still not going to change my mindset. They still have other good tight ends that are going to come in and play, and we're going to have to lock them down too.
All right, so you said sitting out because of targeting was worse than sitting out because of contact tracing. I'm curious, since you were away for the team at a time when a lot of players were away from the team, what was being contact traced like? And are you able to watch practice while you're sitting in your dorm during all of that?
Really, it's just like you're in isolation. You can't really, you don't see anyone. You don't really do anything. You're kind of just, you're still on campus, but they move you to like a place off campus and it's really just your own, like, you're by yourself. I mean, me being away from football for 10, 14 days, me being away from football kind of sucked. But I just felt, the reason why I say Kentucky is just because the tight end thing. South Carolina as well, though. But really just being in contact tracing, it sucks. Like, no one wants to be in there. Like, it's just not. You don't get to watch practice. You don't get to do anything like that unless you're watching it through your mobile device and you're watching film or something, but you can't be out here, you can't be around your teammate and things like that. So that's probably the worst part about it.
So did you just spend the whole time like watching film and having virtual position meetings to keep your football mind sharp?
Exactly, yep. That's exactly what we had to do in schoolwork as well.
Does not sound like a fun time. Deshaun Jerkins is our guest, Vandy safety. While that was happening, I mean, it's obvious that the defense was hit harder than the offense. And it's interesting coming out of that because we've seen the strides that the offense made. I mean, Chris Pierce has had an amazing three games, and it's directly because of that extra time he had with Ken Seals while the games were canceled. Do you feel like the defense got any of that, even with almost half the group there?
Yeah, I feel like we did. It just thing about it is when we were out, when we canceled our game and things like that, there were still a lot of guys out. So even when those guys came back, they came back for a couple of days within game day, and they're having to prepare just coming back from being contact tracing, being in quarantine for a couple of days or weeks, depending on what happened. So I feel like a lot of guys, they took it on, you feel me? But it was just a big transition. Like, it was just a big transition coming in, being quarantined, and you have literally two DBs out here, four DBs out here practicing, things like that, and then coming back and everyone's out here and things like that. It's kind of a big transition. But I feel like we picked up, and that's when things started getting a little bit more simpler just because of the fact that that happened. So I feel like it was a good thing for us to come back and help those guys catch up that was gone.
Deshaun Jerkins is our guest. Last question for you, Deshaun.
Yep.
You started off really strongly last year as a redshirt freshman and didn't have the end to the season that you wanted. What's key to you finishing stronger this year personally as we head into game number 7?
Key for me finishing strong is really just still always showing that I'm a for sure tackler, but really just proving in my pass game and really making plays on the ball. I dropped a pick this year that I wish I could have back. And a couple other plays that I could have back, I wish I could have back as well. But really, I just want to finish this. I want to finish this year strong that I didn't last year. I want to still stay on top of my tackles. I don't want to fall down in tackles, and I want to make plays on the ball. I want to have more turnovers under my belt, which I should have. Sometimes I just feel like I got to get something my way sometimes. But yeah, I just got to make plays on the ball, and I just got to be the player I am and help my team the best we can do to win.
We look forward to seeing it. Deshaun Jerkins, thanks so much for doing this.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks so much to Deshaun Jerkins for taking the time for his second appearance on the Anchor Down podcast here on 102.5 The Game. Really enjoyed talking to Deshaun and getting really, really specific about some of the defensive scheming. That was some really interesting stuff, talking about stopping the run, stopping the pass, his role guarding tight ends. So I think it's really fun just to be able to get into a player's head like that. And, I mean, you can tell this is a guy who thinks the game really well. And we heard it in the interview last year. You can go back in the Anchor Down podcast archives if you want to hear it. It's September of 2019. He had just started his first collegiate game. He was Vandy's leading tackler in their loss to eventual college football playoff participant Georgia. He also ran a fake punt in that game, and it was obvious that this was a guy who was going to be at the middle of a lot of things for Vandy going forward. And this year he's made the logical step after he was a little slow at the end last year, didn't finish the season the way he wanted to, or I guess more accurately, he didn't finish the season the way he started it. He faded as the season went on, and this year as we get into the latter half of the 10-game season, and a year where he missed a game because of contact tracing, he missed a first half last week because of a targeting call. We'll see what he does the remainder of the year. But really thankful to Deshaun Jerkins for spending some time with us here on the Anchor Down podcast. Hope you enjoyed our weekly Vanderbilt football player interview. We do that every Thursday when there's a game. And in honor of Ken Seals, Seal the Deal, Loose Seal, our Arrested Development reference of the week with the Florida Gators coming to town.
Anyway, remember that seal of hers that I released into the ocean? Bit off Buster's hand?
Vaguely.
Her lawyers are claiming that the seal's worth $250,000. And that's not even including Buster's swatch.
All right, who's ready to show their lawyer some love?
The seal? Ha! Must have had a tracking device on it. Someone tracked it all the way to a dock in Dana Point.
You know, if that hand is still intact inside the seal, Buster's got a shot at the transplant.
At the very least, we can get Buster's swatch back, right? Up top.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. False alarm. What they tracked down was a shark, and he must have bitten off the part of the seal with the tracking device on it. Left flipper.
So, the seal lost his hand, too.
Yeah, poor guy's probably out there without a flipper, swimming around in a circle, freaking out his whole family.
The Arrested Development reference of the week never fails with our first Barry Zucker court appearance. Who's ready to show their lawyer some love? Buster got his hand bitten off by a loose seal who Joe gave a thirst for mammal blood. And then they're searching the high seas for the seal who has a tracking device on, but they find a shark who bit off the seal. He bit off the seal's left arm. So like Buster, the shark also is all right, in the words of the very literal doctor. And I think this is perfect for Gators Week because, as Clyde the Glide can tell you,
chomp gators.
All gators do is chomp. Do they chomp off left hands? Maybe. Maybe not. But as we get ready for the aquatic battle of the seals and the gators, hopefully we'll get back Buster Blue's swatch.
Chomp gators.
That's all we got for today. Thanks again to Deshaun Jerkins for joining us for the second time here on the Anchor Down podcast. Thanks to Barry Zuckerkorn for making a great Arrested Development reference of the week. Sarah Fetters and Josh Foster for Vandy Sports Information are the ones who make sure we have those interviews every week, and I'm grateful for that, so thank you very much. And as I said on Monday, I had my fingers crossed that we would have a great television crew for the Vanderbilt-Florida game on TV. And we do. It is the crew that I was hoping for, the crew that I was expecting. It is Bob Wischusen on play-by-play and Dan Orlovsky on color. Paul Carcaterra is the sideline reporter. Game's on ESPN at 11 a.m. Central. These two in the booth with a different sideline reporter, Allison Williams, had the Vanderbilt-Florida game on TV last year. Vandy lost that game by a lot, and it was still the most enlightening broadcast, even just on the Vanderbilt side, that I had seen all year. Orlovsky was unbelievably good. I learned so much from him, even with Vanderbilt down 40-50, talking about where they were struggling, talking about how little time Deuce Wallace had, who played quarterback in that game. And that was the first time I'd seen Orlovsky on TV for more than just like a little hit on SportsCenter or something like that, a short little interview segment. He was amazing, and since then, he's become one of the main NFL analysts on the network. He's on Get Up, which is their morning show, and he's still doing a college game every week. He was a candidate to be one of the Monday Night Football announcers, too. So it'll be Orlovsky and Wischusen, 11 a.m. on ESPN. Really looking forward to that broadcast and seeing what Vanderbilt can do. I mean, you heard Deshaun Jerkins. They think they have a plan to stop Florida's mostly passing attack, so that has been Vanderbilt's weakness so far this year. Obviously, Florida is one of the best teams in the country, and you heard Jerkins say it. He expects them to come out there and try and win Kyle Trask the Heisman. I think that's their goal every game at this point. You've been anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz. It's the Anchor Down podcast here on ESPN. 102.5 The Game.
Who's ready to show their lawyer some love? Thank you.